Certainly a wonderful blessing to be here at Macedonia Church tonight. And we've greatly enjoyed the times that we've been here. We've always felt very loved and at home here. And I'll again commend the church, and I think I did back in March when we were here last time. I've always been impressed that everybody's singing. And the song service is every bit as much a part of the worship service as is the preaching service.
And
so thankful to see everybody singing. Greatly appreciate that good humble prayer by Elder Hayes. And we've loved your pastor, Brother David, and his beloved wife, Sister Marlene, for many, many years. And we're so thankful for his ministry. And I was thankful when I heard the news that he would be coming here as pastor, and knew that the Lord would bless. And we're so thankful for the way the Lord leads and the Lord guides. I do continue to ask an interest in your prayers, realizing that what we desire tonight, man cannot do. And I certainly cannot do. But if the Holy Spirit would bless, we ask for a miracle of grace tonight. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to begin by turning to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. Out there in the hallway is y'all's articles of faith, and I may not can quote it exactly right, but one of the articles basically says that we believe that the scriptures of the King James 1611 translation are the revealed Word of God, the preserved Word of God, and our only rule of faith and practice. The Lord being our helper tonight, I'd like to try to preach upon the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ would say, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, we as old Baptists, we like the shalls of the Bible, don't we? But I'll tell you, I like this "shall not" of the Bible. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words," plural, "shall not"
Amen.
"Pass away." Now just think of how many of men's words over the history of this world have passed away. There's a lot of things that I've said nobody remembers. And I've always been tickled when somebody would come up to me after I'd tried to preach a sermon and say, "Brother Mark, I've never in my life heard anybody else preach on that subject." When I would know that in their hearing, I had tried to preach on that subject. But they didn't remember. My words had passed away. But I'm going to tell you, on the authority of the words of Jesus Christ, he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." That means that not only will God Almighty preserve this word in its entirety, but he will preserve the individual words here in the Bible that we have before us. And what a tremendous blessing that is.
Yes.
Let's go to Psalms chapter 12. Where the psalmist would write some very precious words about the Word of God. In verse 6, it said, "The words of the Lord." Now, his word is pure. But he goes one step beyond that and says, not only is his word in totality pure, the individual words are pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. demonic pride in a furnace of earth purified 7 times. Now the way they would purify silver is they would put it in a furnace and they would melt it down and they'd take the dross or the impurities off the top. You did that one time, the silver got a lot purer. The second time even more, the third time even more. And he said, this is like the word of God, the words of God, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified not once, not twice, not three, not four, not even five or six, but 7 times. The word 7 in the Bible is the number of perfection. It's the number of completion. So the Lord here is telling us that His Word is totally and completely and perfectly pure.
Amen.
And we can rely on it. We can believe in it. Said, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Keep what? His words. Thou shalt keep them. That word keep literally means to guard. It means to protect. You know, man can try to protect things and be unsuccessful. There was some law enforcement officers trying to protect the Capitol not long ago, and they were unable to. When men try to protect something, there's always cracks in the security. But I'll tell you, when the Lord protects something, it's going to be protected. When the Lord keeps something, it's going to be kept. It said, Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That means that His words are pure and His words are kept and preserved. Some people think that when the Bible was penned, it was pure. But over the passing of time, did it got impure?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what the Bible says.
No, no.
The Bible says the Lord will keep it. The Lord will preserve it. Thou shalt preserve it. When? From this generation. When these words were penned were a long time ago. Forever.
Yeah.
Forever. His word shall stand. What a blessing.
Yes.
What a blessing. We go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, the Apostle Paul would write unto the young preacher Timothy. And he says, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. Now Timothy was blessed with some godly upbringing. If you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul would write unto him, When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. He said, Timothy, you've got a faith, and it's an unfeigned faith. It's a real faith. It's not a fake faith. Now, we got a lot of fake things in our world today. We got fake news. We got fake eyelashes. We got fake fingernails. We got a lot of fake things in the world today. And I would to God that our faith would be like Timothy's, that it'd be unfeigned.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it wouldn't be a fake faith, but it'd be a faith that's strong when the going seems good and when the going seems rough and tough. He said, When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The Apostle Paul didn't mention a godly man in his life, but he mentioned some godly sisters, his mother and his grandmother. What a blessing are godly sisters. What a blessing they are, and what a blessing they have been in Timothy's life. He said, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." That word child there has the connotation of a very young child. And you know, very young children can know the scriptures. And I want to tell you, young children can learn and memorize the scriptures far better than I, which is broken a half century old last year. And what a wondrous time. What a blessing when families can read the Bible together. You know, you don't have to know everything about every scripture to be able to read the Bible with your family. What a blessing it is to read the Word of God together. And the Lord will bless that. "That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." He said the scriptures are able to make us wise, give us knowledge and wisdom about the salvation the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with. We sang that song, "It is finished. Oh, what pleasure do these charming words afford." Yes. What a great blessing is the salvation, the finished work that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, upon the cross of Calvary. And the Word of God makes us wise unto that. It tells us about that. And I'll tell you, that's the best news we could ever, ever be given.
That's right.
Praise God for it.
Amen.
May we focus on that, the good news, more than the bad news of the world. Then he says, all scripture. Not part of it. Not most of it. He said, all scripture is given. What a blessing. God gave us the scriptures. You know, me and Sister Emily were talking the other day about how we can be desensitized to bad things. Do you know that if you watch things you ought not be watching, and listen to things you ought not be listening to, that eventually you get desensitized to it? You know, you'll start saying that things that God says are very bad, we'll start saying, "It's not so bad." But you know, we can also be desensitized to good things and take them for granted. You know, the people in biblical times did not have access to the words of the Lord like we do. I guess that every single home represented here tonight has multiple copies of the words of God in our homes. There's been many a saint of God that has given their life, and their blood has flowed so that we may have a copy of the scriptures in the English language, this King James translation of the scriptures. What a blessing! They didn't have that. They might hear the word of God here and there. But we are so blessed to be able at any time of the day or night to read the very words of God Almighty. What a blessing that is.
Amen.
He said all scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Yes.
Now, sometimes we'll use that word inspiration in the world today, and it's different than the way it's used here. Sometimes we may say, well, an artist was inspired to paint this painting. What we mean by that is the artist got this fluffy, puffy little feeling, and they decided they would paint this landscape or whatever they decided to paint. Or we might say that one that writes music was inspired to write this song. We might mean by that they had a fluffy, puffy feeling, and some words came to them, and they wrote a song. This word's different.
Yeah.
This word literally means God breathed.
Yeah.
That means the words of God are literally from God. They are His words. You see, these words written to Timothy here weren't the Apostle Paul's words. He was the penman. But the words are the words of Almighty God. And so it is with all the Scripture. They are the words of the Lord. And they're pure words. They're God-breathed. They came from God. And he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. Profitable.
Yeah.
How many times have I done things in my life and spent times doing things that just weren't profitable? You know when something's not profitable? It means when you put more into it than you get out of it. If I was going to invest in a stock and I put $100 into it and I only got $50 out of it, would that be profitable? No, it would be unprofitable. So the definition of profitable is that you get more out of it than you put into it. I'll tell you, there's a lot of things I've done in this world. I put more into it than I've gotten out of it. Not with the Word of God. It's profitable. You will always get more out of the Word of God than the time we have spent in the Word of God. It is always profitable.
Yes, it is.
It's always profitable.
Right.
Now, would to God it be the first thing I reach for every morning. Before I reach for the news on my phone or before I reach for anything else, to reach first for the words of God. It's profitable. It makes my day much better. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for us to know the things most surely believed among us, to know the doctrines of grace, to know about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, to know about the sovereignty of God, that God is ruling and reigning in this world right now, to know all those precious doctrines that we believe. It's profitable for that. He said it's profitable for reproof. That word reproof literally means to cast blame. It means to say when somebody's done wrong. You know, sometimes I read the Word of God. You know what it tells me? Mark, you've done wrong. There's something the Word of God tells you to do and you're not doing. Or there may be something the Word of God says don't do and I'm doing it. Means to cast blame. It means to convict. The Word of God's profitable for that. For us to read and see things in our life that ought not so to be. And I read it and I'm convicted and blame is cast upon my heart and soul because I know I've done wrong. It's profitable for that. It's profitable for correction. You see, I don't want to just know I've done wrong. You know, what would we do? We were using the GPS coming over here. And I didn't want the GPS lady to say, you messed up, and not tell me how to get back on the right road. That wouldn't be too fun. But I want to know, even when I made a wrong turn, how did I get back on the right path? The Word of God is profitable for that. It not only tells us when we've done wrong, it tells us what to do to get right. And what a blessing that is. It's profitable for that. For correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Not only does it tell us how to get back on the right path, it tells us how to stay on the right path. I need that, don't you?
Amen.
To stay on the right path. That the man of God may be perfect. By that man, it means mankind. It means man, woman, boy, or girl. Man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works.
Yeah.
You know what you need? And I need to live righteously and godly in this present evil world. This is it.
Yes.
It is a thorough furnisher. You know, sometimes I've been working on a project, and sometimes, especially if you're away from home and you're working on something, seems like there's always a tool you need that you don't have. And you said, I wish I had that tool. Every tool we need to live righteously and godly in this present evil world is found in the Word of God. We don't have to get anything from anywhere else. It's a thorough furnisher. It's God's Word. And what a tremendous, glorious blessing that is. We go to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, not verse 1. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Going to back up a little bit. The Apostle Peter has just been writing about something they've seen with their eyes and something they've heard with their ears. Back in verse 16 it says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount." He's thinking back to that great Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter and James and John were brought up into the mountain by the Lord Jesus Christ. And while they were there, His face became white and glistering, and His glory that had been concealed was revealed. They were blessed to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Could you imagine having been on that mountain? Bible said there appeared unto Him Moses and Elijah. They saw the glory of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Bible tells us that they were talking about something.
Yeah.
They were talking about the Exodus, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Talking about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Why were they talking about that? That's the best thing to talk about. The finished work of Jesus on the cross that saved us from our sins and purchased us heaven and immortal glory. That's the best thing to talk about. You know, I spend too much time talking about other things, even with the people of God, when we probably ought to be talking about the best thing. That's what the Lord Jesus and Moses and Elijah were talking about. Peter saw that. Remember, Peter kind of messed up and he kind of got a little ahead of himself. The Bible also said that they were heavy with sleep, that they almost missed seeing the glorified Christ because they were sleeping. I've missed a few things in my life in the worship service of God because I was too sleepy with the things of the world. And I almost missed some beautiful and wonderful things in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here."
Yeah.
That's right, Peter. Amen.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. But then he messed up. He kept talking. There's been times in my life where I may have said something good, but I kept talking. Have y'all ever been there? Where you said something good, but you kept talking? And then you said something you ought not to say. And Peter said, "Lord, let's make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias." Moses is a great man. Elijah, a great prophet of Almighty God.
Yes, he was.
But I'm going to tell you, they pale in comparison with the other on that mount.
Amen.
They pale in comparison to the glory of Jesus Christ.
Right.
God Almighty, God the Father, then spoke from heaven. Said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him."
Yes.
Say, "Peter, don't worry about 3 tabernacles. You just worry about looking at Jesus."
Yes.
"And his glory." Now, don't you think that scene resonated with Peter?
Sure.
Don't you think that's something that if the Lord would bless him to keep his mind, he would never, ever, ever forget? And it's on his mind here as the Lord blesses him to pen. Again, it's the words of the Lord. He said, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now, Peter's just related something that he saw, something that he heard with his own ears. Let me ask you a question. If you see something, do you believe it? If you hear somebody say something, do you believe they said it? I do. If I see something, I believe it. If I hear something, I may not believe the content of what's being said, but I will believe I heard what I heard. Peter said, "We've got something more sure than that."
Yeah.
More sure than what he saw with his eyes. And it was something so glorious that it was emblazoned in his mind. The words that he heard from the very voice of God Almighty were emblazoned in his mind. But he said, "We got something more sure than what I saw with my eyes, what I heard with my own ears. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." What's this more sure word of prophecy? Keep reading. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture. What's more sure than what he saw with his eyes? What's more sure than what he heard with his ears? It's the Holy Scriptures. He said they're more sure than that. I'm going to tell you, little child of God, under the authority of the Word of God, we can have confidence that this is God's Word and it is sure.
Amen.
How much have we heard of the words of men throughout all that we've experienced the last year or so? Man tells you, "Do A." You do A, and they said, "No, that ain't right. You need to do B." We hear so many things from men that are not true. They're unsure. They're an uncertain sound. They're fake news. When we read the Word of God, it's true. It's sure. We can build our life on it. He said, "Take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place." As Elder Hayes prayed that good humble prayer, and I was really so thankful for the good humble prayer. I was thankful for the words of Brother David. I was like, "Brother David just needs to preach." The way he began the service tonight, he did preach. What did Elder Hayes quote in his prayer? Quoted out of Psalms, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Do we need that in this old dark world? He said, take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Is this world not dark?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we need the light of God's word, a pure light, a holy light, a more sure word of prophecy. Said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not at old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, an old preacher one time, very well respected minister, that said he misquoted that text one time in preaching. And he was a young preacher at the time. He said back then there were preachers like all behind you. Kind of glad Brother David's not behind me tonight. Kind of makes me nervous. I'm a law enforcement officer, and they tell us to check our sixes, which means always look behind you. Now, I just feel a little funny when somebody's behind me. So I'm glad nobody's behind me tonight. But that preacher misquoted this text. He said, the holy men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. When he misquoted that text, he felt the tug on his coattail. He turns around and the older minister said, it don't say moved on. It says moved. The young minister may have thought, well, what does it matter? But later the old minister got up and told him why it mattered.
Yeah.
See, if I put my hand right here, this is moving on. This is moving on. This is moving. You see the difference? These prophets just didn't feel the Spirit of God moving on them. They felt the Spirit of God moving them.
Yeah.
This word moved by the Holy Ghost has the connotation of what wind would do to ships when wind would blow the ships. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means the words that they spake were not their own. The words that they spake were by God Almighty. The words that they spake, they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's a big difference. He said, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You know what every scripture means? What God meant for it to mean. We kind of got a dispute in our country today over how to interpret the Constitution. And the people that believe like I believe say you should interpret the Constitution by what the founding fathers that penned it said it meant. Because they were the writers of it. There's some in the country that believe it should be a living constitution, that the meaning would ebb and change over the passing of time, the way society changes. That's pretty messed up thinking.
Yes, it is.
But there's some folks think that about the Bible.
Yes, that's right.
That the meaning of the Bible will ebb and flow over the passing of time, and what it used to mean, it doesn't mean anymore. That's not what the Word of God says. God said in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He says it's the fact that he doesn't change is the way we know that our eternal salvation in heaven and immortal glory is secure. And the eternal security of the elect family of God and of the saints of God is based on the unchangeableness of God. Not only does God himself does not change, his words don't change. They stay the same. And they mean what he meant for them to mean. As we study the word of God, we're to try to figure out What did God mean by this? And you do that by comparing with Scripture, and looking at the context of Scripture. The Bible doesn't mean what Mark Quarles wants it to mean, and what Elder David Guthrie wants it to mean, and what Elder Joe Hayes and Brother Virgil want it to mean. It means what God Almighty meant.
Amen.
And that's what we're to always look for. Now back to this thought that some people have, well, yeah, the Bible started out pure, but you know, over time it's just gotten messed up. Let's see what the Lord Jesus thought about that. Matthew chapter 22, there's some Sadducees that don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels. They try to set a trap for the Lord Jesus Christ. They come up with this scenario. They said there was this man that was married to this woman, and he died. So according to the Levitical law, she was to marry his brother and raise up seed unto his brother. So she married the brother, he died. She married the other brother, he died, till she had married all seven of them. She had children by none of them, so she was no more one man's wife than the other. And then she died. So these people, these Sadducees that don't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in heaven. That's a sad place to be. I've heard preachers say that's why they call them sad, you see. If I didn't believe in heaven, I'd be really sad. Amen. Then this life only, we have hope in Christ. We're of all men most miserable. I'm thankful to have hope in Christ in this life. But I'm thankful our hope in Christ is in heaven and immortal glory as well. So how does Jesus respond to this? They said, therefore, in the resurrection in heaven, whose wife's he going to be? He said, ye do err, this is verse 29 of Matthew 22, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
Yeah.
You know, when I've made mistakes in my life, a lot of times it's because I didn't know the scriptures.
Amen.
Or I was underestimating the power of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I knew the scriptures, but I didn't obey the scriptures. He said, ye do greatly err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven. But it's touching the resurrection. Listen to this. Of the dead. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now the Lord Jesus here, in proving the truth of the resurrection, look what he does. He hangs his whole argument on the truth of the resurrection on one two-letter word. Am. Am. You see, God didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am.
Yeah.
I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You see what Jesus thought about the inspiration of Scripture? He said when God said, I am, it meant I am. And he believed that God preserved his word even down to making sure that one little word am was in there. And it was right. And it was correct. And it was pure. That's the confidence the Lord Jesus Christ had in the words of Holy Scripture. He put the truth of the resurrection on the line with one two-letter word.
Yeah.
So what confidence should we have in every single word of the Holy Scriptures? You know, the Lord Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 5, he would say, think not that I've come to destroy the law and the prophets. The law was the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The prophets, the rest of the Old Testament. Jesus said, "Think not that I've come to destroy the Old Testament. I've not. I've come to fulfill it. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled." He said, one jot's not going to pass away. That's the smallest Hebrew letter. He said, one letter's not going to pass away. A tittle was the smallest mark of punctuation in the Hebrew alphabet. He said, one apostrophe is not going to pass away till all be fulfilled. He said, his word is going to stay. But I want us to pick up another important truth in here. Verse 31 here in Matthew 22, he said, but it's touching the resurrection of the dead. Have ye not read? Have ye not read? Read what? The scriptures. Have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Those words that he just quoted, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, what he was fixing to quote, God Almighty said that to Moses at the burning bush. They weren't there to hear that. But God said, I spoke them unto you. What does he mean by that? He said, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by the prophet? You know what he's saying? When you read the word of God, when you read the words of God, that is God speaking unto us. Yes. What a blessing that is. You know, there's people, and I mentioned this in a text to Brother David, and we've been praying for him and the passing of his father. My father passed away in 2013. There's so many things that I wish I'd asked Daddy about. But I don't have the opportunity. I would love to hear him speak to me. But I don't have that opportunity. He actually negotiated with terrorists all over this world to get Americans released. Americans that had gone laboring in other countries. It never hit the newspapers unless it was a local newspaper back then. This was in the late 80s and early 90s. But I wish I'd ask him more about that and heard about his experiences of talking to terrorists to try to get Americans released. But I don't have that opportunity. But you know, God is speaking to us every single day in his word. As we read his word and pray for understanding, God Almighty is speaking to us.
Yes.
Are we listening? Are we listening? Sometimes my Bible is like this too much. Not open. Sometimes I'm reaching for my phone. Sometimes I'm turning on the TV. Sometimes I'm doing other things. God's speaking. But I'm not listening. Do you think if I had the opportunity to listen to my daddy now, do you think I'd listen to him?
Yeah.
You bet I would.
Yeah.
How much more should we listen to the words of Almighty God?
Amen.
The Lord's shown us so many ways that His Word is true. We don't need external evidences. We have an internal evidence in the heart to know His Word's true. We walk by faith and not by sight. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord's given us sweet evidence that His Word are pure words.
Yeah.
One of the ways He's done that, and all the prophecies that have been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hundreds and hundreds of prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. What did He say? He said, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He was going to fulfill every prophecy there was about Him. And He either has or will when He comes again. You know, the Old Testament said Jesus would be born through the lineage of Abraham. He was. Through Isaac. He was. Through Jacob. He was. The Holy Scriptures prophesied He would inherit the throne of David. He did. The Bible prophesied that He would be born of a virgin. He was.
Amen.
The Bible prophesied He would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. He was.
Amen.
The Bible prophesied He would ride into Jerusalem on the coat, the foal of an ass. He did. The Bible prophesied those things hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before they happened. Man doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'll never forget the look on President George W. Bush's face when an aide came. Told him that planes had flown into the World Trade Center. And the look of astonishment on his face. He was the most powerful man. In the world, who was sitting on the most intelligence information, probably of anybody, he didn't know. There's a lot of things man doesn't know. But I'll tell you, the Lord knows. His Word stands sure. And His prophecies come true. So many prophecies of things that happened while the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah 53 tells us He would be as a lamb before shears and as a sheep before the shears is dumb or doesn't speak. So opened He not His mouth. Jesus was falsely accused in a trial of mockery, yet He was silent. Most folks don't do that. You falsely accuse a man, most folks will come out fighting and say, I'm innocent, I didn't do that. Jesus didn't do that. That was prophesied. It was prophesied that many of the leaders of the Jews would cry out in mockery and say, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the Christ, let Him come down from the cross and we'll believe Him. That was prophesied.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Amen.
Was cross of prophesied that He would be thirsty on the cross of Calvary.
Yeah.
That His tongue would cleave to His jaws. It happened. It was prophesied. Even the words He would say. When He had all of my sins upon Him and all of your sins upon Him, and He was suffering the equivalent of an eternity in hell for all the elect family of God, and He cried out unto the Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was drinking that cup of the wrath of Almighty God that my sins deserved and your sins deserved. And the words He would speak were prophesied many hundreds of years before. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And He finished the work. And purchased a people. He purchased us. That heaven and immortal glory be His home. Said to Abraham and his seed, Galatians 3:16, where the promise is made.
Yeah.
He said not to seeds as of many, but to seed as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ.
Amen.
Because He finished the work. We don't have anything from being children of Abraham. We're not children of Abraham physically. But I'll tell you, we're through one seed of Abraham, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through Him and the victory He won and the redemption that He purchased for us on Calvary's tree, heaven and mortal glory will be our home because of the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that important truth was taught, whether that word seed was singular or whether it was plural. The Lord values every letter, every apostrophe of His word. May we take every opportunity, may I, to listen when God's speaking to us. When I was a little boy, and I'll close with this, my daddy was the director of the Bureau of Narcotics for the state of Mississippi. And as a little boy, I got to meet the governor of the state. And I remember him kneeling down on his knees and talking to me. And I was like, wow, the governor wants to talk to me. I'm just a little boy. How much greater that the Lord wants to speak to us every single day in His word. The God of glory, the Lord of heaven and earth, the King above all kings, and the Lord above all lords. May God bless me to listen every single day. May God bless you.
Amen, brother.